morning, St. Paul's family. Let's stand and worship the living God together. Father God, we just invite your holy presence, God, into each heart this morning, each heart in the room. Praise him, all you sinners. Sing, oh, sing you. Oh, praise him, all you children of God. We lift high his glory.
Good morning. Nice to see you here today. Today is a big national holiday. You know what it is? That's right. It's Flag Day. So June 14th. It is great to worship with you today. It's great to be in the presence of God and be church with one another. And so let's pray together. God Almighty, we thank you for your presence with us today. And Lord, it is just always a good day, one that you have called forth from long ago. God, you've put your will into this day and written it in, God, and it's for us to determine and walk with you and glorify you in it. And Jesus, may this hour of worship together, God, may it bring glory to your name. May you grow our hearts, our minds, align us to you, give us a heart that loves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I want to welcome those of you watching online with us as well, and the rest of us, let's all continue in our time of worship.
Who am I that the highest King would dwell above? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Though the sun sets free, oh, it's free. I am free at last. He has ransomed me. Oh, his grace runs deep. On the side, a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. The sun. Sun sets free. The sun sets free. Oh, he's free and me. I'm the child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house is a place for two. I'm the child. Yes, I am. My Father's house is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. Not for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. Is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's home, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house. My Father's. who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose blood is mighty, so much stronger than King of glory, the King above all kings.
That's right.
Who makes us holy with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in our wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son of God? The King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun, all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my faith, that you would bear my cross, that you lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I sing for you. Sing to your love.
Let's pray together.
All right.
God Almighty, it is good to be with you. It's good to engage in worship. We do that through song to acknowledge you, because heaven right now, The Bible's description of heaven is filled with song. Lord, voices, the multitudes upon multitudes, the myriads upon myriads, the hundreds of millions of angels singing in just glorious shouts of praise. Lord, we just get invited into that, Lord, even here. We partner, God, with heaven right now to say you're worthy. And Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. And God, you set us free from ourselves, from our sin, the times that we rebelled against you. And that's glory, that's love that would come in the form of grace, that you would make a way for us to forever be with you. We thank you for that. Jesus, we thank you for church. We thank you for community. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for the word of God and for the word of the testimony. And we thank you, Jesus, that you reign and you give us plenty to live encouraged lives here on earth, God. So often we look right past those things, but Jesus, this is you've given to us, and we just want to thank you today. We want to, if the number one thing we can do today is to say thank you, Jesus, let that be our hearts. God, you're so good. We pray for one another, God. I pray for especially our seniors graduating high school in this season, Lord, and right around this weekend, or ideally. And Father, just we lift them up. We ask you to strengthen them, Lord. This isn't the way they wanted their senior year to end at all. And yet, on the other hand, God, it's you're with them. And Lord, we just pray a blessing over each of them. And we thank you so much for the love you have for them. God, be with us together today as we look at your words, we look at discipleship and what you're saying to the church. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence fully in this time and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, before you sit down, why don't you turn around and say hi to your neighbor? You can't really go hug him, but you can say hi to him, all right? Not sure I saw one of you smile. All right, you guys can have a seat. It's kind of nice to turn around and see who's here, isn't it? So, well, today our topic is tithing and generosity, and we're going to talk about discipleship, technically, through that. Disciple is like a follower of and someone who has disciplines to be discipled, and one of the great disciplines, spiritual disciplines of a follower of Jesus is generosity. And generosity is actually one of the values of our church. We said of our five values, generosity is one of them, that we want to live generous lives. We want to be generous. We've been set free by what Christ has done. Therefore, why would we not set everything else about us free? And so we're gonna look at that today through generosity. If you were to walk into just any room, say you walk into a room, there's 100 people, and you did this thing where you said, and somehow you got it right, every person who's generally has a happy outlook on life, go to this side. And everybody who's just less than happy most of the time, go over here. And they were truthful, okay? And okay, people go on that side and people go on that side. There's probably more on that side than you think there are. But there's happy people and there's less happy people, okay? And you recorded who was where, and then you jumbled them all back together. And then he said, okay, now we're going to take these same 100 people, and I want everybody who's generally generous in their lives, I want you to go to this side. And those who were, more or less less generous, stingy, right? Go over this side. Not rude, just not generous, right? Go on this side. And so twice now, right, we've put happy people and generous people over here, unhappy people and less generous people there. Science says that if it was accurate, if people were honest about it, those groups would look very, very, very similar. It's that a happy life includes a lot of generosity. And typically, an unhappy life lacks generosity, which is interesting. And it's like, well, why is that? And there's all kinds of reasons. And I didn't quote one study, because if you Googled this, you'd find like you'd find so many different studies that corroborate this. But if you, one is just like, well, there's an outlook on life. Because both are choices, right? To choose to be happy, like you have to. You have to choose to be happy. Every one of us is capable of going through life very frustrated and very grim, very depressed, and very, you know, just sad. Like, we're all capable. And that doesn't really take a choice. That's kind of the natural tendency. That's born into sin, right? But you can choose to have joy. You can choose to be positive. You can choose happiness. You truly can in any of our circumstances. Same with generosity. We're not born generous. Every one of you, when you were a child, nobody had to teach you to take a toy from another kid, right? You figured that out quickly. But what did you have to get taught? You had to get taught how to share. You had to get taught how to be kind and friendly and generous with others. Why? It's because it's easy to just be self-absorbed. We got that down. But it takes a choice to be happy. And it takes a choice to be generous. And typically, those people are very much the same. And there's an outlook on life that says, I'm going to choose this. And that's why they're so tied together, happiness and generosity. But it also, it works the other way, because science will also say those who choose generosity find that their emotions and their feelings are actually, there's terms for these that I don't remember, but basically they're much happier in life after they choose to give. So it's not just like happy people give, it's also giving people are happy. It works both ways. And it also kind of works the other way, the curmudgeon way, right? Where there's, I just don't want to be happy. I really want to keep to myself, and I want my stuff to be mine. And it just works. And the longer you go on in life, the further like those two extremes get. It's like you don't just stay in the middle. There's no healthy balance of the two. It's really, those are the directions that we can go. And so we're gonna look at generosity. We're gonna talk about tithing. Generosity is something that we benefit from ourselves being generous. If you give, you actually benefit from that, which is pretty incredible. But think how amazing generosity is, though, for you when somebody else does it, right? So when somebody is generous, it benefits so many other people. There are many art museums in this country that are free. Probably not in the Northeast. Nothing is free out here. But there are numerous art museums. And so I got a picture of my favorite statue. Okay, this is called Spoonbridge Cherry. My family should know where this is. How many of you have ever seen this? All right, where's it at? Minneapolis. So basically, an art collector donated all the funds to produce that. He had a couple produce this, and now it's in this beautiful sculpture garden in Minneapolis. It's stunning. Like, the whole garden is massive and beautiful. Somebody was generous so that people like us could go to Minneapolis and walk through this garden and see these beautiful sculptures. I don't have a clue what it's about, other than there's a cherry on a crooked spoon, but it's really fascinating, and so are many of the other sculptures that are in that garden. Why? It's generosity. College students love scholarships, right? Actually, parents of college students love scholarships. Scholarships, that's generosity. You know, that money isn't just like created, it's given from someone or some endowment to individuals to help them. My grandfather has a scholarship in his name that that it's for a student going into agriculture. It's like, because he was big into that. And it's a joy, like, to know. I know every year which student is from my high school that I graduated from gets the scholarship. And it's why there's something, it's generous to receive, to give scholarships, and it's wonderful to receive them. When people volunteer, that's generosity. It helps. When we serve one another, when you serve at Bridgeport Rescue Mission, when you bring food for the food, I don't think I ever shared this, but Pivot Ministries, one of our dear ministries, in fact, their mission of the month is in June, reached out probably the end of March, and just let me know they had some extreme needs. And one of our families got a hold of that and said, hey, our pantry, we collect food for a food pantry, was at a really healthy spot, and took all the food over to that food pantry, blessed them just tremendously. Why? That's serving. And when you bring food that goes into our food pantry in the kitchen there, it's a blessing. When you give blood, that's generous. It takes your time, a little needle, but it's generous. You see how this blessing, like, people get blessed because of generosity. Generosity is an incredible thing, right? But there's one who gets blessed more than anyone else with generosity, and it's the Lord. And so the text we're going to use today, we're going to go and we're going to take a proverb, and it's not a proverb from this past week, it's from 2 weeks ago. It's Proverbs 3 and verses 9 and 10, and this is the one we're going to look at today. It's a two-verse text, even though I think we're going to kind of be all through Scripture today because of this topic. But would you read this aloud in your nice muffled mask voices with me? All right, let's read this together. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. That's where we're going to start today. It's about honor, also one of our values. So a number of points we're going to just go through today. Some will be very quick. But using your wealth for righteousness is an act of love and honor. Using your wealth for righteousness is an act of love and honor. And you can say, wealth, I don't have wealth. Everybody has wealth. Even financial wealth, we typically think of like spiritual wealth, but even financial wealth, everybody has it. It's about the capacity each person has. That's their wealth. There are people in this world that have great wealth, right? We use that term, great wealth. And there are those, you'll hear, he comes from a family of very little wealth or poor wealth. There's still wealth. Wealth is what you have, though, okay? And so when we use our wealth for righteousness, it's an act of love and honor. When we do that for the Lord, we recognize God loves to be honored, especially with the things that we want to hold closest. Because we associate our wealth with security, with health, with provision. That's all very okay to do. We associate it with that because we're responsible and we purchase the things instead of steal the things, right? So it's okay to do that, but not if we skip the first part, which is by honoring the Lord with our wealth. We want to honor him. We want to honor him in righteousness with our wealth. Jesus points to this story. It's one of those children's stories that's just great. Remember, he's kind of, basically he's like in church, right? And there's people throwing big old money bags. They didn't have card numbers and they couldn't give online then. And so they're throwing big old money bags in the offering. And it's a somewhat of a prideful act in those particular cases that he was looking at. But he sees, remember, this old widow goes up and she has a couple copper coins and she throws them in. It's just, you know, dink, dink. There's no thud. And what does he say? She's like, this woman has given far more than anyone else here today. Why? She gave her wealth. She entrusted to the Lord far more of her wealth than the people who put far more money in. Why? It's an act of love and honor. Andrea and I, before we got engaged, we went to a bunch of jewelers, and I didn't know anything about diamonds, I didn't know anything about rings, and had to learn. And so we went, and Andrea was very like, I don't need much, you know, that's fine, or that's fine, doesn't matter. And I'm like, well, I don't know anything. And so we'd go to, you know, different jewelry shops, and they all said the same thing. They call it a rule. They call it the three-month rule. And because they all want to know how much you're going to spend, they say you need to spend, the rule is you spend 3 months of your salary on an engagement ring, which is, you know, as soon as I told them, well, that's like zero because I'm in seminary, they quickly decided that's not a rule. But the whole idea of that 3 months of a salary is a lot, but why would somebody do that? It's to love. Even though it's just a tiny little ring, right? It goes around a finger. It symbolizes something. There's love and there's honor in that, and you want. I'm part of a wedding this evening that the engagement took years to come by because the guy really, really wanted to get her a great ring. And I'm like, Brandon, you got to just do it, buddy. And why? And she just wanted to get married, but to him it was a way to love and honor her, and that's such an aspect of generosity of giving. And when we honor the Lord with our wealth, it's an act of love. It's a great act of love and honor. So the tithe is a scriptural mandate to give the Lord a tenth of your income. And this is discipleship. Discipleship is far more than I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. And if I do that and I stick to myself and I'm a good person, there's all kinds of disciplines that go into walking with Jesus. And the thing is, they all help us. None of them save us, ever, right? There's history, if you go back over 500 years, and then, of course, beyond that, in the church where there was some confusion, there was some just wrong teaching and wrong understanding of that, and it just left everybody with kind of a feeling of, ugh. The reality is, your tithes don't save you at all, but they draw you closer to Jesus. And a tithe, the word tithe actually means tenth. And so a tithe, it's a scriptural mandate from the Lord. It's not a recommendation. And I don't know, I don't think I've taught on this in 2.5 years since I've been here. It's really important. And it's not to come down and say, you have to do this if you love Jesus. It's saying, look, you need to know how important this is to the Lord. And we're going to look through a number of passages where this is part of it, but it's discipleship. It's a discipline, a spiritual discipline, is surrendering, like that widow who entrusted to the Lord her livelihood. That's what the Lord longs for, is that we would entrust to the Lord and let go of security in our hands and place it in His. And so a tithe is a response to God's blessing. And when we view it like that, we're not going to get confused with saying a tithe helps me in my relationship with God or helps me in my salvation. No, it's actually a response to what God has done for you when we tithe. It's, thank you, Jesus. You died on the cross. That alone is enough for me to tithe forever, right? Or it's, Lord, you continue to bless. But it's a tithe is a response to God's blessing. There's a passage that I want to look at today. It's in Genesis 14. And basically, it's a story. It's before the law was written. It's before Moses was alive. Abraham, and actually, he wasn't even the father of many nations. He was just known as Abram at the time. But Abram had to go rescue his nephew, and he fought a handful of kings, and he won. And he has great spoils, and he's coming back. It was a rescue mission, and God blessed him so much. And as he's coming through Salem, which is Jerusalem or Jerusalem, but Salem at the time, there's this mysterious figure, especially in the Old Testament. He's really interesting. Like, we just don't know exactly who he is and what he represents until the New Testament interprets it for us. But his name's Melchizedek, and he's this like priest and king, kind of a combo role, which is pretty rare. And Melchizedek comes out to meet Abram, and Abram gives him a tithe. Melchizedek is called a priest of God. Not a priest of Yahweh, just a priest of God. And so that's why we're like, what does that mean? And we find out more in the New Testament. But this is just two of the verses. Genesis 14, it's 19 and 20. But here are the verses. Melchizedek came out to Abram, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." It says, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. He gave, and when you read through it, and you're like, why did he give him a tenth? Was that really for the Lord? If you read Hebrews, Jesus mentions this too, but if you read the book of Hebrews, and you realize that when Abram tithed to Melchizedek, it was accounted to him as righteousness. It was a way he honored the Lord God. And so it was a response to the great blessing that God had given to Abram, and Abram tithed into Melchizedek's hands, but for the Lord. So it's a response to God's blessing. We tithe because God has been generous with us. Furthermore, tithing is central to God's law. Now, we don't like to hear this one as much because it sounds like we're just obligated to do it. And I can tell you, when I graduated from college, I moved to Kansas City, and I worked there for a while before going to seminary. And I remember looking at numbers, and I was going to tithe because I had to. I didn't want to. I had to. That was my mentality. And God was totally in that. And I don't think it's wrong that before you want to, if you're not even feeling like I want to, but feeling like this is the right thing to do, this is a spiritual discipline, that's how it started for me. And then it became joyful. The decision to do it wasn't really joyful. It was like kind of worrisome. I'm like, can I do that? Well, I can, I know, and I will. And God brought so much joy into that, but this is central to God's law. And so there's what we're going to look at in this one is a little bit, it's five verses, but it's in Leviticus 27. And this is the part, it's really the very end of Leviticus. And God like puts forth the mandate into the law. And so he says this, every tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's, and it's holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff shall be holy to the Lord. One shall not differentiate between good or bad, neither shall he make a substitute for it. And if he does substitute for it, then both it and the substitute shall be holy, given to the Lord. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses for the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. And so this is one of the places in the law where it said, and it's income, meaning it's every way they had to receive income. And so he says it's the the seeds that you plant in the ground. So it's your harvest, it's your crops. If you happen to own a fruit tree, it's so not just from the crops, but from a tree that's a, that's like a, what is that, the difference between perennial and annual, flower language I'm learning. And so it's all of that. And then if you're into livestock, it's every tenth, it's your, well, it'd be like your first animal, it'd be your 11th animal, it'd be your 20th, right? Why? Because it's every way that you have of wealth. It's your wealth. You might only have a few cattle or a few, you know, but that's your wealth. And so the Lord put this in the law and said, the tenth or the tithe belongs to him. That's how they got to it. They didn't wait to be inspired. They gave because it was the law, which is interesting. You've probably been somewhere, a fundraiser, where somebody's given a speech and said, hey, there are times churches do this. There's a capital campaign. There's a need that comes up, an appeal. And it's like, we're asking you to give for the homeless. We're asking you, right, we're asking you to give. Those are moments when you're inspired by what can come. And you give on top. But the tithe itself, according to Scripture, the tithe is the law. That's the beginning 10%. The appeal is actually, and we're going to see this here in just a moment, the appeals come after, on top of that, which is a pretty big shock if, you know, for someone who hasn't thought in this way before. It's a big shock, and it has ramifications, doesn't it? But it's the scriptural way for doing this. And so, to even get to that point of the on top of, we got to understand this. Tithing is repaying to the Lord what is already his. Everything you own is not really yours. Like, we recognize that everything I have is from the Lord. And it's like not just even a gift to me. It's more like I'm a steward of his possessions. I'm the one that God has called to take what he's received or to receive what he's given and to understand that it's his. And it's going to be his when I die. Like, I'm not taking it with me, right? It stays. It's the Lord's to distribute as he sees fit, which is pretty incredible. And so there's a passage, said there's a number of these we're going to look at today, but in Deuteronomy 12, and the idea on this is kind of right here, is like one of those summaries in Deuteronomy. There are a few of those, and where it's like God's reminding the people, and when I take you into the land, remember I brought you up out of Egypt, right? And when I bring you, and this is one of those. He says this in Deuteronomy 12, this is 5 and 6. But you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name and make his habitation there. There you shall go. Now eventually this will be Jerusalem here. There you shall go, and there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your contribution that you present, your vow offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and flock. And he's saying in this that all of this belongs to the Lord anyway. All of it. And so when we give to the Lord, when we tithe to the Lord, we're only repaying him with his stuff. It's already his. And it's always been his. And it will always remain his. Just like nations today. If you're like me, put a whole lot of stake into who's the leader of a nation, and but when you take a step back, you realize, yeah, he's appointed by someone above him, the Lord. The Lord's over all of this, and we really see and entrust to God something much bigger, much greater. So in that, recognizing that it's all the Lord's anyway, the law starts with the tithe, the 10%. And then, if you read in Deuteronomy here, it talks about the what's it called? I might have it down here. It's a special Jubilee festival, and which happens, and it's an additional tithe. And then in Deuteronomy 14, there's at once every 3 years, there's another tithe. And it's for the widows, the poor, and the orphans. And all of a sudden you realize, okay, even in the law, like the Old Testament law, the bare minimum was 23%. It's not even 10. You know, but the tithe itself was 10, but he put tithes on top of that. And then, this is what the Lord did. He would call for special appeals. There's a time when the tabernacle needed to be built. And so God sent Moses to stand before all the people. And Moses just said, this is what the Lord is doing. This is what he said, and this is what's happening. And he shared the vision for the tabernacle that God had given. And said the people gave. They gave. Remember, these are people out in a desert. They're literally on the move. they got a 40-some year journey, like between homes. So, but what they're doing is they give. And in fact, you find out Exodus 36 or 37. You get to this point where the builder, the chief builders of the tabernacle are like overwhelmed. They have too much gold. They have too much silver and bronze. And they go to Moses and they say, tell the people to stop. We can't, just stop. We got too much. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because they were honoring the Lord with their wealth. They were honoring and giving their wealth into righteousness as a response to what God had done for them. That was an act of love and honor. And the tithe became so much more as they gave on top of the tithe. Years later, you see at the exile, when they return and Nehemiah comes and Nehemiah calls for a tithe. Jesus in Matthew 6, this is New Testament living. When he talks about giving on the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Acts, you find out that generosity is one of the chief marks of the church. Generosity is throughout. And the first fruit. So Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So what does it mean to say first fruits, right? Well, the first fruit is the first 10% of one's earnings. Not the tenth. It's not the tenth fruit. It's the first fruit. That's an important distinction. So when they would come in with their crop, they didn't take what they needed and, keep for themselves and then the leftovers go take it to the Lord. It is actually the first fruit, the very first of the produce. Even if a fire came and destroyed everything, it's the very first belonged to the Lord and they would give to the Lord. Why is that important? Paul in the New Testament refers to this. And so Romans 11 is actually... The whole topic of Romans 11 is actually about Jew and Gentile. But he touches on this and gives us, I think it's a helpful understanding of it. He says, it's one verse, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. Like the whole lump of bread that'll come from it and all the lumps if you have one of those starters, right? Like if it's holy, the whole bread, the whole lump's going to be holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Meaning, if foundation, the very strength and foundation of whatever it is, if that's dedicated to the Lord, the whole deal is dedicated to the Lord. But if the foundation is dedicated to my survival and my prosperity and my accumulation, and then I have a bunch of leaves and fruit I want to give to the Lord, the whole thing isn't holy to the Lord. Just scriptural. And it's not semantics. It's actually intentionality behind it to say the first fruits, like the very first part, belongs to the Lord. Final thing I want to give today is it's actually the end, and I used to shy away completely from speaking about the blessing of giving, but that's, I think it's important, and I think I hope you've all heard. I didn't have anybody stand up and do a testimony today, but I hope you've heard of the blessings of people who years into their life really feel that the Holy Spirit says it's time to tithe. And it might not be a convenient time in their life to tithe, but they'll start. And it's remarkable so often. I've heard so many testimonies of people who will say, my business took off. It launched, and there's no explanation for it other than it's supernatural. Or I started getting bonuses that I never could have gotten before. Right? We had favor with our vehicles. We had, I mean, just story after story after story. And the reason I would shy away from ever sharing about that or talk is because I don't think it's a scriptural, like it's a formula that if you do this to the Lord, he'll get, I've heard those sermons and I think they're trash, okay? If you give to my Gulfstream, my $56 million jet, God is going to bless you. I've heard them and you've probably heard them too. That's not it. But God does bless us in our generosity. He does bless us in our tithe. But we'll let him be the one who determines what that blessing looks like. But the blessing is there. It's absolutely there. The blessing of the tithe is that one cannot become poor by giving to the Lord. That's straight up. By giving to the Lord, you won't go poor. It just won't happen. The last scripture we're going to look at is actually, it's a proverb. It's a little bit further in the book of Proverbs. But it says this, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. One who waters will himself be watered. Meaning God's going to take care of the blesser. And you look at the point of the church, which you go back to the early part of Genesis. And you, Genesis 12, then again in 15, 14, 15, and you see Abram was blessed to be a blessing. He was to be a blessing to the nations. That was the intention. That's the intention of the church, is to be a blessing. God will provide. He always will. The scripture we didn't go to today, which honestly is the easiest one to preach from, and probably one of the best, is it's the very end of the Old Testament. It's the book of Malachi, Malachi 3. I'd encourage you to look at it today. But it's remarkable. And Malachi just straight up says, those of you withholding your tithe, he's talking to his people, those of you withholding your tithe, you are robbing from God. This is language he uses. Pretty strong language. But why? It's because, well, it's already the Lord's. And then, but then he ends with, and he says, but I'm telling you, test the Lord. This is the area we can test the Lord in, right? And by giving. He invites the testing. Test the Lord and see if he won't open up the windows of heaven and pour down blessing on you. I want to encourage you today. A church that just oozes generosity is highly attractional. A church that can give just almost without limits to missions, to homeless, to people who are really hurting right now. There is something about life in that church. Just like a person, a single individual who chooses generosity is typically the same person who's finding great joy in their life. I'm absolutely convinced that a church, a group of those individuals who collectively agree and say, I'm going to choose generosity, I want to choose to engage in the tithe. I want to choose to be a part of this in such a way where it costs me, but I want to choose generosity. That same church is going to find that collectively there's so much joy throughout that church because we're seeing things happen, because we recognize God is using us to impact so many others that aren't even in these walls. That's what we're called to. Tithing, yeah, it's totally a spiritual discipline. It's one of the most fun. Not to start. I've been there and I know it firsthand. It can be scary. But once you start it, it really does get fun. And it's a source of joy. I want to encourage you. And hopefully just even a walk through some of these passages, we can recognize how important this topic is to the Lord as well. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to be all that we can be. Father, I know the human way is to, we see our limits by seeing our funds or lack of. Lord, if we're the church, if we're for the bride of Christ, and this expression here, St. Paul Westport, we've got the riches of heaven. The storeroom of heaven is ours. And Lord, we want to bring glory to you through it. We want to honor you with our wealth. We want to dedicate our wealth to righteousness. We want the whole lump. We want the whole, all the branches, the whole plant, the whole tree to be holy because we dedicate to you. Jesus, we pray for help. We pray for guidance. We pray for courage to step out in this. We bless you this day. And Lord, let your glory be seen, not just by this church, but through this church, Lord. Let this community see love and honor and generosity pouring out from us. Let them come to find out who our God is that we serve. We pray this together in your name. Amen. All right. So typically at this time we'd receive our tithes, our offerings. We're doing that a little different. Obviously, on your way out today, you can drop in. There's a offering plate in the back. You can, if you have a physical one. Otherwise, you can go online. There's a gray tab kind of on the right of our website. It's a giving portal. It's also a way you can give to the tithe. You can also give to missions. You can designate which one to school. Want to encourage you to do that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. So would you stand at this time? And if you forgot to grab your the bread and wine, the package, Daryl's amazing. Our bouncer is walking right through to hand that to anyone who missed. But Steve's going to lead us in the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come to the altar today. We confess our sin, which is ever before us. God, a sin is when we choose to put ourselves before you. We choose to reject your love or turn away from, to withhold your love from others in our lives. God, all of that, it makes us sick when we go to the place of prayer and we confess, because we're calling to mind those instances in our lives. But God, we want to do it because there's a cure for this sickness, and it's the blood of Jesus, and it's what you've done for us on the cross. And so Lord, today, we do that uncomfortable act. We acknowledge our sin before you. And we ask you, the blood of Jesus, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, restore us, into our place of faith, into our place of salvation. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. When you confess your sins, God is faithful and true, and he assures you of his forgiveness. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can pull your wafer out at this time if you'd like. It was on the night when Jesus was betrayed. He took the loaf, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Friends, take and eat the body of Christ. You may open your cup of juice. And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink this cup. It's a new covenant of my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often in remembrance of me." Friends, we drink together the cup. We recognize when we talk about first fruits that we also have a firstborn from the dead. In the same exact way, right? The firstborn is Jesus coming out of the grave alive for us. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we recognize that when we come out of the grave, that when we pass into the new world, there's going to be a feast, and it's going to start something a lot like this. Except it sounds like it's going to be big and it's going to be great. But we're going to be fully restored, forgiven. There's going to be no sin. Somehow we're going to eat a whole lot and not have gluttony. Check that out. No food allergies. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got on that. The point is, God loves restoration. And that end time, that meal that we get, that feast we get, is all about restoration. This right here that we just received is all about restoration. And receive that. May this body and the blood of Christ give you strength and endurance to life everlasting. Amen. All right. Let's sing together our final song, and then we'll do some announcements.
Turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside. Angels are the sound of angel songs, all this part of me. We could join and sing of the Christ the King. How constant, how divine, this song of ours will rise. How divine this love of ours will rise. Rise. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. He is holy. He is holy. Angels join to sing of Christ the King. How infinite and sweet this love so rescuing. How infinitely sweet this great love has redeemed. This one sing. Oh, praise. heaven and hear the noise inside.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for being here, for worshiping with us. Just a couple of the announcements. We kind of actually covered them a little bit earlier, but if you're looking to give online, that one's real easy. You can just go up to the top right on the website. This Wednesday, we have Wednesday night prayer right here, 7 o'clock. Those of you, anybody can come, so just dress like you're dressed now, with at least up the mask, all right? So it's just a great time of prayer together. Next Sunday is Father's Day, and that means no Bible studies, like the 8:30 Zooms, just not next Sunday, but then we'll finish the month of June kind of back on, so kind of off on. But I want to encourage you in that. Also, Pivot is our mission of the month this month. Pray, always pray for the mission of the month. Pray for sirens a lot of times we see them, but I want to speak a blessing to you. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in you what's pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Thank you for worshiping today. I know you can stick around for a moment and talk, but we're kind of staying out of the fellowship hall. Please take any of your trash with you, and there's a trash can by the door. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.